All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor. And remember, our scripture is still 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Still with me is Pastor Moses Allen. God bless you, sir.
Shalom. God bless you.
All right, so we have more questions coming in. And we have this, says, Shalom, Pastor. I'm Brother Christian from Benin Republic. You always say that Noah preached for 120 years. Lisa, how do you calculate it from the Bible?
There's a calculation there from the genealogies, from the ages, this, how old this one lived and when he died. And then, you know, we just calculate it from there. It's something all theologians know anyway.
All right, so brother, you have to read between the lines to get that answer. Yes, there's a question from Mozambique. Sister Stella from Mozambique says, good evening, man of God. Please, sir, can wearing trousers hinder one from making heaven? Most especially where there's too much cold. Sister Stella from Mozambique.
Well, what hinders one from going to heaven is not the cloth you wear.
Okay.
What hinders anyone from going to heaven is that you did not receive the Holy Ghost. And the only reason that you did not receive the Holy Ghost is because you are an unbeliever. So, if you receive the Holy Ghost will teach you how to appear as a woman and how to appear also as a man and how you are to comport and behave yourself as a human being. In a way that is pleasing before God, known as righteousness and holiness. So that you say you're a Christian and you're wearing trousers is only an attribute of who you are, that you're an unbeliever. Because the word of God is against it. A woman should dress like a woman and a man should dress like a man. You are not going to heaven because you're a fornicator. One is not going to heaven because he's a drunkard. One is not going to heaven because he's a thief. All these are attributes of a sinner. No sinner will go to heaven. The Bible says so. But you are a sinner because you are an unbeliever. So that you are wearing trousers is because you are an unbeliever. You are not going to hell because, I mean, to heaven, or rather, you're not going to hell because you're wearing trouser. But trouser is an identity of those who will go to hell. I don't know if that is a because it is the evidence that you're an unbeliever. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. And we still have other questions. Okay, we have another question coming in from I get the name. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Say, Shalom, Pastor. I'm Brother Derek from Gabon. And Pastor, my question is this. Pastor, if a brother is praying and mentioning his pastor name in his prayer when his pastor is already dead, for example, praying and saying the God of Pastor John, when Pastor John died many years ago, is this right?
It's a reference point with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead and gone when God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the reason is because he's the God of the living. And that is evidence that they are still living. They are not dead. I mean, being Christians, they are sleeping. But it's also a reference point. We read the Bible and we see the stories in the Bible. How God moved with Joshua. How God moved with Moses. How God moved with Gideon and Apostle Paul and the disciples. And if I say, oh, God of Apostle Paul, Paul is dead and long gone. What I'm actually saying is the God that moved with Apostle Paul, you are the one. Move with me also the way you move with Apostle Paul. There's nothing wrong about it. You know, depends on.
Okay, I think another good example would be Elijah and Elisha. Because Elijah was long gone. God, when he made
said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elijah? You know, come and manifest the way you manifested, you know. But of course, there is a way again that you go about it, that it becomes a substitute for the name of Jesus. the name, the person, the man that God gave us to make reference to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's be sure that when you say, oh God of Pastor John, you are not substituting him with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Savior, who is your Redeemer, and who answers prayers. And that is the name God gave us to approach him, to pray with. In words, or indeed whatever we do, we are to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if for reference purpose, you are given a description of how you want God to move, and you mention the name of any great man of God that God has used, nothing is wrong with it. God bless you.
All right. God bless you and God bless you. Okay, we have a caller, Brother Ijeofor from Abuja, Nigeria. Brother Ijeofor, God bless you and shalom.
Okay, my question is John chapter 20 from verse 21.
Okay.
Bible says, again, Jesus says, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. As the Father sent me, has sent me, I am sending you. Verse 22. And with that, he spoke on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. To say, if you forgive anyone's sin, then I forgive you. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says that we are appointed for men to walk. Now, here with my God, every life is selected from among the people, and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer a gift and sacrifice for sins. Now, is it good to compare their sin to a pastor? And then they will pray for you for forgiveness. That's my question.
The high priest in the Old Testament. First and foremost, let's put this in proper perspective. Right. The scripture he read is John what? Verse 20.
Yes.
And then verse 21 and verse 22.
He said, and then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you.
Is the brother still on the line?
I think we lost him.
Okay, if we've lost, you can hear us and hear the answer.
So then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins...
Now verse 23 is the reference.
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Uh-huh. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Now the emphasis there is, he told the disciples, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now we look at the Bible. How did they remit sins? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, listen to the language there.
Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
For what?
The remission of sins.
For what?
The remission of sins.
For the remission of sins. So, how did the disciple remit sin? It's through water baptism. You preach repentance. When they repent, you baptize them for their sins to be remitted. Now, he said, whosoever sins you remit, they are, read that verse again.
Quickly open it here.
Yes.
All right, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And he said, and when he had said this,
the verse for the...
Verse 23, rather. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
They are retained.
Yes.
How do you retain the sins of the person? That is why you come to Matthew chapter 18.
Okay.
And see the way it went there from verse 15.
Matthew 18 verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, Go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone.
Uh-huh.
If he shall hear thee, thou art gained thy brother.
Uh-huh.
And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
Mm-hmm.
And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an eating man and a republican.
Uh-huh.
Verily I say unto you.
No, again, okay. Read that place again.
Verse 17.
Yes.
And if he shall neglect to hear them.
If he neglect to hear who?
To hear them.
Uh-huh.
Tell it unto the church.
Okay. Tell it to the church. Who is this church? The elders of the church.
But if he neglect to hear the church.
If now he neglect to hear the church, what will happen?
Let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican.
Now then verse 18.
Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Whatsoever you bind, see it now. Mm. That is what he's saying there.
Mm-hmm.
This binding and losing here, you can see it is the authority that is given to them, to the church, to the apostles, to the elders of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you confess to?
So you're saying she's unnecessary to confess.
It is who you offend that you confess, but a sinner comes and confesses before the Lord, not to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the pastor and confess any sin.
Mm.
Other than a response to James chapter 5.
Okay.
Now, in James chapter 5, verse 16.
James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
So you are to confess your weaknesses.
Okay.
If I come to you, see what I am feeling, I am getting carnal, I am lusting, I am feeling this and condemn, please, then you now pray with me.
Okay.
But every sin you commit, you know, you are sinning against God, God's commandment. So you go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
Okay. All right, God bless you, Brother Geoffrey. I believe you got that answer. Okay, we have this question. It says, Shalom, Pastor Moses, from Brother Ifa in Delta, from Delta State, Nigeria. It says, Shalom, Pastor Moses, please help me as you answer these questions. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 talks about the three works of grace, which I believed you in your previous teachings about three works of grace. But last time you said again that it is four, not three, as it is written in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Please explain very well. Does the fourth one comes in? Revelatory knowledge.
The revelatory knowledge.
I think he's trying to ask whether it's part of what we have there.
Now, yes, you know, revelation is progressive. And each time I teach, I make reference to the progress we are making. We go from faith to faith, revelation to revelation. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. The Bible says so. So, anytime we get further light in any matter, we bring it out to the people. That is what we mean by trimming of the lamb, trimming of the lamb. When you put a full stop to revelation, then you will never go further. You have blocked yourself from any further light. Now, I made it clear, the three works of grace. What did we call it?
Justification.
No. We call it the works of grace.
Okay.
The works of grace. That means you are already a partaker of grace before the works we follow. And the first, now Noah found grace. What is the grace Noah found? Noah found grace in that destruction is coming upon the land, and God has decided to destroy the land, but no other person knew about it. Noah was not praying about it. But God came to give him the information called revelation that he would destroy the world. Now, that knowledge is grace.
Okay.
That is the first, you know, thing that positions you. You are, that is the grace you find.
Okay.
Then, now to escape, what are you to do? There are the other three works of this grace that you have found.
Okay.
Therefore, you have, you know, it's a work because God does a work on you by opening your eyes of revelation.
Yes.
So it is revelation, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
All right. So in terms of chapter, that's 13 verse 33. That was what the verse was writing to link it to.
Yes, and I've answered this before.
Okay.
That is for those who have responded.
Okay.
Then these three works
plays out.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So question two from the same person says, in 1,000 years, is Christ coming with new heaven and new earth?
In 1,000 years, what are you saying?
Probably referring to the millennial reign of Christ. Whether it's coming with the new heaven and new earth.
The earth is rearranged.
Okay.
And then we come down here to rule the earth here for 1,000 years. Yes.
Okay.
So I don't understand what you mean. The earth is judged, the earth is rearranged. And then he who creates problem is in the bottomless pit, Satan. So there's peace on earth.
Okay. All right. So question three says, the Jews that may die in tribulation, how are they going to be raptured? This is from Brother Ifai from Delta State.
The Jews that may die in the tribulation, how are they going to be
raptured?
There's no other rapture.
Okay.
Okay. When you say, how are they going to be raptured? I want you to note that we don't see rapture for them.
Okay.
The Bible does not give.
Yes.
You know, the order, because the only reason that you are raptured is that you receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I want you to note that the elect, because not all Israel are of Israel.
Yeah.
God knows his own.
Mm.
See what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12. Mm. In Revelation chapter 12.
Mm. Okay. Verse 14.
Now, you notice that verse 13 and verse 14.
Okay, verse 13 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man
child. That is the tribulation period.
Mm.
What happened?
And the woman were given to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time.
So by the time by the time of this persecution, you can see that through the revelation of the two prophets, Revelation chapter 11, those are the two wings of the great eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why the flying eagle, which is the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6, is not our symbol.
Yes.
It is the symbol
to the Jews.
Because that is what God uses, the revelation from those two prophets will cause, there's something they will hear, and the elect will move on. So they won't even be killed.
They'll move to safety.
They won't be killed.
Mm.
Yes. So there's nothing like rapture for the Jews.
All right.
They are alive to see us come and join them and rule the earth here.
All right. God bless you, Brother Ifai. Okay, we have another question, and this is from Jolie, or rather from Adamawa State. It says, Shalom, Pastor, I'm Jolie from Adamawa State. Please, I have three questions. And one, according to Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and asked him to leave his father's house to where he will show him. Sir, does God still call people in such way? Please explain if your answer is yes.
The question is not is now to come out of unbelief, come out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is the call that you are seeing in Matthew 11 verse 28.
Mm.
Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
But God can also direct one, like our brother that called from Delta, or is it Delta or Edo?
No, he said he's moving to Benin. The Spirit is
from Edo. Okay, he's moving there. No, he has moved. I think he has moved, or he's moving. Whatever it is, that type of call is for ministry work. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas. So he's still separating. God can tell you to go somewhere for the work of the ministry. Wherever he leads us, we follow. But the kind of call of Abraham, who was a stark unbeliever before God called him, our own equivalent is Christ, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. So that is the call.
All right. I think the question still continues from Brother Jolie, or from Jolie from Adamawa State. There's a question that follows there. Okay, question two. Why did Paul ask Timothy not to rush in laying on of hand, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22.
Now, let's read it. Let's see what it says.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins.
Let me get the scripture again.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. There's something interesting there I want to just get. Okay. Now read it from verse 21.
From verse 21.
In fact, read it. He's setting the church in order, teaching how to set the church in order. Then from verse 19, what did he say?
Okay. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses.
There must be two or three witnesses.
Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
Go on.
Okay. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another.
Yes.
Doing nothing by partiality.
You see, so he's talking about how you will lead the church. Now, then we now come to verse 22, where this question is coming from.
Say, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
So it's the time of you link verse 22 with verse 19, where he says, you know, make sure before you take an accusation, there must be witnesses. Now, when you want to deal with somebody, you know, be careful.
Okay.
Don't suddenly, you know, act, lay hand, punishment, pronouncement, on suddenly on no man.
Okay.
And also, you can see the word suddenly, you know, convey. You know, the whole thing, be careful.
Okay.
Be careful. Some people say it is ordination.
Yes.
No, this is not about ordination.
Okay.
Certainly, this is not about ordination, because the same Timothy in chapter 3, Apostle Paul was already telling the qualification.
Yes.
So for your settled ordination. But this one now is on discipline in the church.
Because by the minister trying to do that, if the people who accused were wrong, you probably have also made the same mistake they made. So that you neither be partaker of other men's sins.
That is why he said, don't be partaker of other men's sins. Exactly.
All right. Okay. So God bless you, Brother Jolie from Adamawa State, or Sister Jolie. Please specify. Okay, we have this. Brother Joel from Angola says, shalom to the bride of Christ. My question is in the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 35. Why did he say Jesus wept? Because he knows that Lazarus will rise again.
Because of their faithlessness. I've explained that several times before. Okay. It's because of their faithlessness.
Okay.
He told them already the resurrection and the life. And now he has come. And you are saying, if you had come since, my brother will not
partake of the first resurrection and all that.
Okay.
All right, there's still a question from our brother. And he's talking about Abraham's bosom, if I saw that clearly. All right. Rajul is saying, my second question is concerning Abraham's bosom. I need more light. I believe that after the death of Jesus Christ, all the saints rose up with him. So is there still Abraham's bosom?
No, Abraham's bosom, what he's saying, Abraham is the father of faith. And this is Israel is talking about. Naturally, when you die, you'll be with your father. Yeah. You'll be with the head of your family. Where Abraham is, is a place of glory. Okay. So that is why you call it Abraham's bosom. Okay. You be with Abraham, because Abraham is not in hell. Okay. You be with him.
Okay.
Yes.
Just more like we, as we always say, we want to be where the apostles
exactly,
are.
Exactly, well. The apostles' bosom, apostles' place of abode, apostles' presence.
Okay. All right, so let's go on with other questions as they come in. And we have to say, I saw a girl and I want to marry her, but she is a Muslim. However, she has agreed to be converted to Christianity. I don't know if it's right to marry her. I've prayed, but I want to know if it is scriptural to marry her. However, I consider what happened to the sons of Elimelech, Mahlon and Shiloh, who insisted on marrying Ruth.
You have not converted her.
Okay.
And she's telling you that after she married you, she'll be converted. I think that is dangerous. I think that is dangerous.
True.
Why not get her to serve your God first
before
marrying her, if you love her? Secondly, the Bible says we should not be equally yoked with unbelievers. Why are you befriending an unbelieving woman? You are stepping out of the boundary and there's a consequence for it. We have so many sisters within the Christian fold.
Yeah.
Now, if you had got to her converted and you saw the zeal between
the serving God,
and you decide to marry her, just like Elimelech married
Ruth. And now,
because Ruth had to come to Israel first before
Elimelech. Boaz.
I'm sorry. Before Boaz married her.
Yeah.
Boaz did not go to Moab to marry her, so that because she agreed to follow him to Israel.
Yeah.
So she had to be converted first, and be sure she truly converted before you think of marrying her. Then you would have been marrying a Christian sister. For now, you want to marry a Muslim, believing her promise that after she marries, you should be converted. That is wrong. God bless you.
Question 2 says, a Muslim man was asking one guy to pinpoint any chapter and verses in the Bible where Jesus said, I am God, worship me. And if he can be able to do that, he will be converted to Christianity. Okay? And sir, I want to know how to answer such questions biblically.
The Bible says ye are gods, isn't it?
Yes.
And Jesus Christ himself said, that the Father and I are one.
Yeah.
And the Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning what?
God with us.
God with us. Yeah. And the Bible tells us again, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born. Among the attributes in that verse is that he shall be called the mighty God.
Yes.
So Jesus is called the mighty God, and it's not blasphemy. The Father and I are one. He said, if you see me, you see the Father.
Yeah.
And it will be really blasphemous for a human being to make that claim if he is not. Philip asked him, show us the Father. Oh, and he said, I am the Father. That's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
And the book of Revelation chapter 1,
and
the description of who Jesus Christ is in chapter 1, verse 8.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
So he is telling you here that he's the Almighty. Yeah. Jesus is the Almighty. Why? Will he say Isaiah 41?
Okay,
Isaiah 41, read verse 4. What does it say?
Verse 4, who hath wrought and done it?
Isaiah, correct?
Yes, Isaiah 41, verse 4.
Isaiah 41,
verse 4. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He.
So, and Jesus Christ is making the same claim here.
He's saying it's Alpha and Omega.
He said what? That is the Alpha and
Omega.
Omega.
Yes. So he's also saying he's the first and the last.
I am the Lord, the first and with the last. He repeated that in several other scriptures.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ is repeating the same thing. Why, which other scripture are you saying? And then Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. Only God has power over life and death. So which what scripture again, you know? We are not, for the purpose of salvation, we don't portray Jesus as God.
Okay.
We portray him as the Lamb of God that taketh away our sins.
Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave. So yes, why will you be preaching to an unbeliever and then you are preaching to tell him that Jesus is God? How does it affect his salvation? I think when you want to meet an unbeliever like that, and some of these people are not, they just want to make caricature of your faith because of the presentation of the gospel by some pastors. They know better. So if I met a Muslim, I will approach him from the point of his religion and let him know where we parted. And I will tell him that all of us lay claim to Abraham. That is for sure. The same God of Abraham is the same God that the Muslims believe they are serving.
Yeah.
But they are following the lineage. And that Isaac had two children, Isaac and Ishmael. And I will prove to you where we parted. You went Ishmael. You are following Ishmael while I am following Isaac. And the promise is for Isaac. And I will trace it and see where salvation comes in and where God gave us hope. And then trace their own through Ishmael. And they will notice that it is a religion quite different from the Christian faith in terms of the hope it offers mankind. God bless you.
All right, so question two, I believe from, is it question three? Did Jesus come for the Jews only? If no, I need biblical support to prove it for others. That's Brother Okoro from Makurdi, Benue State.
In John chapter 10, but Christians, these are simple things that Christians should know. Now, in John chapter 10, let's read it from verse 14.
Okay, from verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Now, note verse 16.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold.
Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This fold is Israel.
Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Now in Isaiah 46.
Okay.
And verse 6.
Okay. Isaiah 46 and verse 6 says, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith. And he makes
Isaiah 42, I'm sorry.
Okay, 42.
Verse
6. Isaiah 42, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness.
Who is he talking to? Israel.
Israel. Uh-huh. And will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Did I continue verse 7?
Go on.
To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
Go to Isaiah 50.
Okay.
56.
Isaiah 50?
Isaiah 56, verse 8.
56, verse 8. Says, the Lord God which gathered the outcast of Israel.
That's the scripture I'm looking for.
Seeth, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him.
And Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 10.
Okay.
Verse 45.
Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles Peter, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So I meant Peter when I called Paul. Mm-hmm. Now, you notice that the same spirit that
came on the Jews also came on the Gentiles.
Now, but before that scripture, before they received the Holy Ghost, they were called unclean.
Yes.
And God showed Peter unclean and say, kill, I eat.
Yes.
And he was referring to the Gentiles. Yes. So he came for the whole world.
Amen.
But now you've seen in Romans chapter 11,
yes,
and verse 25.
Okay, Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery."
It's a mystery.
"Lest ye should be wise in your own concept, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become
in." So there is a provision for the Gentiles to come in.
Okay.
So Israel was blinding
in part.
Partially, because it will be open again, okay. Not forever.
Okay. All right, so God bless you, our brother. We have more questions coming in. Daniel, God bless you. You can go on with your question.
Yeah, shalom, sir. My name is Daniel from Adamos.
Shalom, go on with your question, sir.
Yeah, my question is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 13.
Okay.
It says, "Every man walks shall be made manifest,
yes,
for the thief shall declare it,
mm-hmm,
because it shall be revealed by fire,
okay,
and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it."
Yes.
"If any man's work abides which he had built thereupon,
mm-hmm,
he shall receive the reward.
Yeah.
If any man's work shall be born, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire."
Yes.
So, sir, I want to ask, if it is so, which type of fire? Is it a parable or
it's
talking of real fire?
You are correct, it's a parable. About the process, all just right, like fire is used to try something, all of us who shall undergo the trial of our faith, Apostle Peter said, being much more precious than that of gold. What do you use to purify gold? It's fire. Our faith too will be purified like that by such tests, and it is only the one that is properly built, like the Lord Jesus Christ spoke upon a rock, that we stand. So whatever we do, it is going to be tried. Only time will prove it. And then that is what that scripture is trying to tell us. It's not literal fire. God bless you, Brother Daniel.
All right, God bless you, Brother Daniel from Adamawa State. All right, we have another question coming in. And this is from Jos Plateau State, Nigeria. Brother Onyemaechi says, "Shalom, God, and thank God for your hard work in making sure we have understanding of the word. My question is taken from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2 to 4. These sons of God, are they different from men? And who are they, and what is their place in the kingdom of God? Thank you, sir." Genesis 6, verse 2 to 4.
Remember that the book of Revelation is also the book of the beginning. I mean, the book of Genesis is the book of beginning of God dealing with man. And for his own reasons, he starts the opening of the book with symbols, just like he ends the process of redemption with symbol, the book of Revelation. But I want you to understand, let me read something here. The fall of man. Now I want you to note, let's go to Genesis chapter 3.
Okay.
Chapter 4.
Okay.
Now let's read it from verse 1.
From verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Yes.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell."
Now I'm going somewhere.
Okay.
Now, chapter 4. Now, the first verse there, read it again.
"And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord."
So, the children that will come out of Cain, because his name was named Cain, correct?
Yes.
The children that will come out from Cain.
Yeah.
What will you refer to them? They are the children of man.
Man. Mm-hmm.
They are the children of
man from the Lord. So they are children,
of man.
Yes.
They are children of man. Yeah. Because remember, this is a book of symbols, Revelation. Yeah. You have to read it and understand the symbols.
Mm.
Then when you get to verse 25.
Okay, verse 25 says, And Adam knew his wife again.
Yes.
And she bare a son and called his name Seth.
Uh-huh.
For God said she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Now, note verse 26.
26. And to Seth, to him also were born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
So the lineage of Seth, who now began to call upon the name of the Lord. Why will you call them? That the children of God.
Now,
you can see the genealogy. Now, in the genealogy, go on.
Chapter 5, verse 1.
Yes.
Says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth.
Uh-huh.
And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters.
Yes.
And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died.
Now, on and on, in short, the sons of God there are the children
of Seth.
Of Seth. The daughters of men there are the children of
Cain,
the lineage of Cain. And remember that Cain was a product, was a hybrid product of
the serpent
and the human woman that produced that animal nature called Cain. So when they mixed, animals' nature was mixed with human being, and that is what Satan used. But that is his agenda to create all the evil that were going on earth.
The corruption of the world.
Corruption of the whole earth. Yes.
Sister Jessica from Nasarawa State says, "Shalom, sir. My pastor said that each time a drop of alcohol enters inside a Christian, that the Holy Spirit leaves the person's life immediately. And I heard Pastor Alu said that communion wine needs some percentage of alcohol. Any biblical backup on that? Thanks, Sister Jessica."
Any biblical backup from your pastor too? You should not just tell me the pastor says so. There should be biblical backup from your pastor for him to say that.
Certainly.
And my own biblical backup is that the wine and the bread, which is a communion, is symbolic.
I mean,
it's an ordinance. Yes. And they are speaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So you have to look at the composition of that blood, spiritually speaking, physically speaking, that is making us, you know, to remember the body of Jesus Christ. Remember, the ordinance says that the bread must be unleavened bread. The Passover bread was unleavened bread. And therefore, it must not be, yeast must not be there. Leaven is yeast, must not be there. You bake the bread without yeast. Secondly,
the wine
is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ. It must not just be red in color, blood, but there is a life that is in the blood, which the Bible tells us that the blood of an animal in Hebrew chapter 10 didn't have. The life in the blood of Jesus Christ could affect the sinner. And not just that, It preserves the sinner. The life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ is a preservative. There is a preservative power in his blood, which is a type of alcohol that preserves every liquid. The alcohol there, as long as you put it inside that liquid remains preserved until eternity, so to speak. And so we are also sealed, Ephesians 4:30, with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. That preservative power that is in the blood is what that alcohol signifies. So, we have to, you know, understand it from that perspective. So there must be some little percentage of alcohol for it to have a point of contact or reference to the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Sister Jessita. Okay. We have other questions coming in. All right. We have this brother Joseph from Enugu State. Brother Joseph, God bless you. You can go on with your question, sir.
Please, I want to ask a question. My question is this. I've been saying concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I used to tell people that he is coming after 2,000 years. So they have been asking me, this 2,000 years, is it written in the Bible? That is not written in the Bible. So I would like the pastor to, at least, if he can throw light on me, let me know where it is.
Brother.
Is it written in the Bible or where we used to be backing it up after 2,000 years?
Brother Joseph, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Where did you get that knowledge from that is coming after 2,000 years? Where did you get it?
I've been hearing it from so many pastors' mouths that Jesus Christ is coming back after 2,000 years.
Now, you see, the person that asked you, allow me to use this language, is more honorable than you. Because you only hear something and you are repeating it without confirming it.
Yeah.
Now that person heard you and is challenging you, show me in the Bible. The person is very honorable. So we as Christians, that is why I say we should study. Don't just accept something because Pastor Moses is saying it. Because one archbishop is saying it. Because everybody is saying it. Let them pinpoint it. Why are you saying it? And don't accept what anybody says, whoever the person is. And that is the problem most of the entire message believers have with me, Pastor Moses, concerning the ministry of William Branham. They want me to take everything William Branham says because it is William Branham that said it. And I say, no, I have something to judge even William Branham by. It is the Bible. Amen. Prove everything from the scripture.
Amen.
So now let me prove it for you.
Okay, sir.
Okay, in Hosea chapter 6,
okay,
there's a prophecy there.
Yeah. Hosea chapter 6.
Verse 1 and verse 2.
Verse 1 and verse 2 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us?
Again, verse 1.
Come and let us return unto the Lord.
Yes.
For he hath torn and he will heal us.
Uh-huh.
He hath smitten and he will bind us
up. When did this take place? Brother Joseph, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
It happened in AD 70. When they rejected Christ, hung him, and in fulfillment of various prophecies that Christ gave, they were in AD 70, General Titus came from Rome and they scattered them. That is when he smote them. But there's prophecy that promised their return back to the land. Now, verse 2 of Hosea chapter 6, what did he say?
After 2 days, will he revive us?
Now, it will be after 2 days, and the Bible tells us, we see that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and some other scriptures, 1 day is to the Lord as a thousand years. I mean, 1,000 years is the Lord as one day. So if he says he's coming in 2 days, I mean that they will be revived in 2 days, that is, it will take 2,000 years. They will be scattered and it will take 2,000 years. They were scattered in AD 70 and then when they were scattered, they rejected Christ. The gospel came to the Gentiles. And so within the 2,000 years, Christ will be gathering himself a bride from the Gentiles. After the rapture, then he will now turn to the Jewish revival as we see it happen in Revelation chapter 11 and other scriptures. That is why we say that Christ will come after 2,000 years.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
But I hope you get it.
Thank you.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Joseph, and thank you for calling in. All right, so we have other questions coming in, and this says, Shalom, question number one, please, I want to know, what is the essence of sharing the grace? Is it a sin if one does not share it?
There's nothing like sharing the grace. It's just everybody repeating that scripture in the book of Corinthians,
yes.
The last words of Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, where he says, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14.
Okay. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
So we're only repeating that prayer. We're confessing that same prayer, Apostle Paul said. There's nothing like, let's share the grace. That is, let's say this together. Let's claim this together. It's just a statement of faith. God bless you.
All right, question two says, I came across a certain non-denominational group of people who call themselves the Jesus Disciple Fellowship. According to these people, we are no longer under the era of grace. They say grace age has expired and we are now in what they refer to as kingdom age. Please, can someone help me out? Okay, they use John chapter 1 verse 17 and Matthew 24. John 1:17 and Matthew 24:14 to justify their claims. Okay?
Let's read the scriptures.
Okay. Says John 1:17. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? That's John 1:17. Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14 says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that's both. And okay, they used both scriptures to justify their claims. And this same group of people do not believe in water baptism, laying on of hands on the sick, the Lord's Supper, and a lot of other things mentioned in Hebrews 6:1-3. Please, can you help me interpret what this scripture actually is saying?
These people are in another world. They are not believers. They are not Christians. They are not believers of the Bible. Grace age will end with the rapture because people are still getting saved. We are still preaching the gospel. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he is still saving now. So, and the process of salvation includes the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It includes now the kingdom age is the millennium kingdom of Christ, where Christ come to reign physically, that lasts 1,000 years. So I think they are mixing up scriptures. Okay.
All right. So question.
Not yet in the millennium.
Yes.
Therefore, we are not yet in the kingdom age.
All right. Question
the kingdom
three.
Age is 1,000 years.
From the person says, according to Matthew chapter 16, we says in Matthew chapter 16 verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus here was talking to his disciples. What is this kingdom he was talking about? Did some of them standing there with him see the kingdom?
Yes.
Can you still continue? Say, I had an atheist quote. Okay, quote this scripture and say Jesus was lying here because none of the people he was saying this to saw the Son of Man coming in his glory.
Well, if Jesus was not lying, remember that the Bible is a love letter.
Okay.
And he was not meaning to, he was speaking, he said they will see him coming. Mm-hmm. That is, they will see his coming.
Okay.
It's a realm of revelation. Mm-hmm. Because after 6 days,
yeah,
he took Peter, mm-hmm, James, and John to, yeah, the mountain, and he was transfigured, and they saw him in his real, mm-hmm, self,
mm-hmm,
in his glory.
Yeah.
And secondly, John did not die,
mm-hmm,
until he saw his coming in the book of Revelation.
Yes.
So it was fulfilled.
Okay. All right. So question 4 or from same person. Okay. Says the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says we should believe not every spirit, or we should try the spirits whether they are of God. My question is, how then do you test the spirits? Roderick from Cameroon.
By the word of God. If it goes contrary to this word, it is not of God.
Mm.
Simple.
All right. All right. God bless you, brother. Roderick from Cameroon. Okay. We still have another question coming in. Today is really packaged. All right. Pastor, Shalom, Pastor Moses. God will continue to strengthen you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My name is Brother Temitope from Abuja, Nigeria. Please, I want you
Isn't it the same one that called?
Most likely, Pastor Temitope that called. So he said, I want you to shed more light on the statements below on the works of grace. If Martin Luther's stage is explained by car engine justification, John Wesley is likened to the airplane sanctification, and William Simon is explained by the space skyrocket, that is baptism of the Holy Ghost. The statement below was said in our Bright TV online Bible club, that the rocket can take one to space but will not stay there permanently. If it has to come back, the ministry of William Brown brought perfection and it's explained with spaceship, then is it that we need more than the Holy Ghost to be in the rapture? Please make this clearer. God bless you, sir.
I don't know how the Bible club explained it. I wasn't there. But we're talking of the gospel. I preached the message, the gospel according to science and use the automobile that takes us, moves us, because we're in a journey from earth to glory. And as the advancement is going on, we'll discover that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is likened to the Pentecostal, the restoration, where you now go heavenly, and then it takes you up there. Then you discover that it was within that age of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the first man was placed in the moon. And then after he placed him in the moon by a rocket, a rocket, the mechanics of a rocket is that when it shoots up, it goes beyond the Earth gravitational pull, the Earth atmosphere, and then it is there. There is a power that takes it there on its own, can remain there. Now it places the man in the moon, but then later on, that same man that is in the moon comes back to the Earth because we are going to come back here to rule the earth here. Mm. This earth is meant for man to stay here. So I think it is a perfect setting, that you go there in the rapture, which is after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm. The next thing is you are going up there. You are perfected. And then we are now coming back now in our glorified bodies to rule on earth here. That is why the man that went to the moon had to come back again to the earth. It's a perfect time.
All right. So that answers our question. Okay. So if we have other questions, we can have them coming in.
Thank God there's no more question coming in. So we thank you very much for the time you spent with us. This is made possible by our sponsor, financial supporters. Support us with your finances to keep this channel on. We want to thank you very much for the time that you have taken to be with us today. God bless you, and may you remain rapturable. Shalom.